Welcome to the Florida Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 9th of December, recording at 9:12 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights. Some of Asia's smaller markets were quite firm in here today, ones that had lagged previously: Indonesia, Singapore, and also Thailand. China, which had been quite strong recently, was down a little bit today. European stock markets were mostly firm. Wall Street spent most of the day on the downside, and it closed there down 2.72% on the Dow, less on the other two main indices. Long-dated government bonds, treasuries were firm here today. And in currencies, now the US dollar had a fairly good rally. It had retraced almost half of yesterday's drop at one point. Then it gave up the whole thing and moved briefly. I'm talking about the US dollar index now, and moved briefly to the minus column, but then closed higher. About 277 points, but well off the day's highs. So while we didn't get downside follow through to yesterday's downward dynamic, at least we did not see that move offset. Now, precious metals were mixed against that background. Platinum and silver were down a bit, palladium and gold up a bit, but not that much. Gold is currently at 776.77 as I speak. And elsewhere, most of the, well, the commodities were mixed in here today, it must be said. They were almost all higher yesterday. One of the exceptions was natural gas. That was a little bit firmer in here today, but crude currently trading at 42.15. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, sentiment towards stock markets has improved a little bit. It'll be interesting to see if Wall Street's weaker performance today erodes that cautious optimism that we have seen recently. I kind of doubt it, because it hasn't, it didn't quite offset yesterday's gains. Now, the technical point to make on stock markets, which are mostly range-bound, and a fair number of them are still trading a little bit above their October lows. It hit on the 10th of October in most instances. A few have drifted downwards or ranged with a bit of a downward bias, but mostly they've been holding ground in this sort of mean reversion process. And that has caused sentiment to improve somewhat, because people were so pessimistic and so worried understandably following the persistent selling and accelerating, eventually climactic decline into October that we saw. So that sentiment has improved a little bit as people have assessed the point about valuations, and they have also, which are improved despite all the uncertainty over corporate profits in a weak economic environment, which by pretty well everything that I see, bar a few restaurants, which seem to be well attended, suggests that the global economy is still weakening. But nevertheless, as I say, this sentiment with stock markets ranging has improved a little bit as people see the two-way activity. Now, for sentiment to deteriorate again, it's quite simple technically. I think we would need to see moves below this month's lows. Remember Monday a week ago when Wall Street had that downward dynamic? That sent a little sort of shockwave through markets that established the lows for the month to date. And so moves below the earlier lows that we saw this month I think would, as I say, would be a warning sign. That would not take many markets to new lows within the downtrends, but really the more bullish pattern that we need to see if we're going to get that year-end technical rally that carries into the first quarter of next year. What we need to see is this month's lows hold, lows to date hold, followed by further tests of overhead supply. I think the situation is fairly evenly balanced, but given that we're now seeing more in the way of upward dynamics, maybe tilted slightly towards the bulls. We are still, of course, in the overall downward trend. So at this stage, I'm not really looking beyond a technical rally and the mean reversion that I've talked about for several months. Mean reversion in terms of the 200-day moving average is best seen on the weekly charts. So that's pretty much the equity background. It's possibly a base development that we are seeing on these charts, but it must be said that evidence is tentative at this stage. And one can make a good case for saying that base formation development would be quite extensive given all the fear and uncertainty. And I would be in that school. I am in that school, as you know, which is why I haven't deployed any of the cash that I've been holding for quite some time yet. I certainly intend to at some stage, but I'm content to wait for the base formations and do a little bit of trading in these markets in the meantime. Now, looking at the long-dated government bonds, again, U.S. Treasuries are still very, very steady. I mean, the market got a renewed tailwind last week when there was talk of the quantitative easing with the Fed actually going in and buying its own paper. And that on top of the momentum trade and also on top of the deteriorating economy and fear about corporate profits helps to explain the strength of these long-dated government issues. There is still no evidence that these trends are over, although I'm talking about the uptrends now that we're seeing in long-dated government bond prices and the downward trends, of course, that we're seeing in the yields for those instruments. There's still no evidence that those moves are over, although they are temporarily, at least temporarily, overstretched. And you know my view that the better value is in the corporate bond sector, and that has been firmer this month. That could be important. If we have seen a major low in the bond funds and the corporate bond ETFs. And there's a reasonable possibility that we have. You can see those charts in the libraries, of course, and Owen has posted most of them recently. But they had these are bond prices, and they had corporate bond prices, and they had big downward accelerations, followed by quite good bounces. It looks like a type 1, type 2 ending as taught at the chart seminar, likely to be followed by some right-hand extension base formation development. But if we have seen an important low in those corporate bond funds, one, they would be recovery candidates, and two, that would be a good lead indicator for stock markets. So the better yields, of course, are in the corporate bonds and also in a number of equities, but the missing ingredient so far in those two sectors has been confidence, which returns slowly. or is slow to return, I should say. Looking at currencies, the dollar action does look toppy. And whether you're looking at the US dollar index, that has rolled over. It's still within a trading range overall, but the more recent dynamics are on the downside. Also, if you look at the euro dollar, that again, the euro shows most of the dynamics on the upside. It's also got a marginal progression of higher reaction lows. All of the resources currencies look overextended. Their declines against the US dollar look overextended. So there is some evidence here that we do have a topping out process. A part of the puzzle that doesn't fit yet is that the yen is still very, very strong in here. And part of my hypothesis, at any rate, is to why the US dollar may be tiring in here. Aside from the fact that I think that these levels are unsustainable by the US economy over the medium to longer term. But I have seen global deleveraging, as many people have, as a major factor behind the strength of the US dollar and the Japanese yen. And that's quite simply explained by the fact that the dollar and the yen in particular were the carry trade currencies of choice. So again, I've been saying that when the yen was stronger and when the I beg your pardon, when the yen was weaker and the US dollar was weaker, that would be an indication, at least, that the deleveraging process was waning. But here we have the US dollar, or dollar yen, I should say, trading at 92.215. So the yen is still pretty firm overall. So this topping activity, if that's what it is, for the dollar may take a little longer. But whether it happens sooner or later, dollar weakness will be a tonic for the dollar prices of most commodities. And that would include precious metals, but I think it would be spread right across the range. It would also be seen in the energy markets. I think in grains. Incidentally, I bought. Speaking of grains, I bought a little bit of corn today. The chart is very overextended in my view, and we have a report coming out, I believe, this week from the USDA, and I think it's a report on the harvest figures. And my guess is that it will show that the crop is not so good as to justify the big setbacks that we've seen recently, which I think are mainly due to deleveraging and a certain amount of momentum trading on the part of people who have opened shorts in commodities in recent months. So that's pretty much the outlook overall. A weaker dollar, say, would have a profound influence on the commodity markets, and I also think that it would be generally supportive of equity prices in most countries. And I think that's pretty much it, so I'll just say all the very best to all of you.